Yeah, hello everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and it is July the 25th, 2019. And today we're going to talk about team synergy. That was a request by Michelle. Thank you, Michelle. That's always a good topic to talk about since we work with not only individuals but teams too. And wanted to talk about team building, you know, how to build that synergy, that connection, and cohesion so we can really improve performance and improve how players relate to each other. And then also, you know, building and maintaining a good team culture. You know, it can be the culture can go all over the place depending on what's going on with that in the season, whether they're winning or losing, or whether you've got star players or jealousies or team politics, and all of that is going on too. And so you want to have a really positive relationship between team members. And then I'll talk about, you know, improving communication between team members. So that's key too. And these days it seems like people are, you know, communicating less by face-to-face and more by texting and email, and that can create confusion sometimes, and we need to get back to, you know, what it means to actually talk to someone face-to-face and in person and be able to deal with conflict. And we could do several sessions on all of this, I'm sure. You know, it's kind of like a family, dealing with family dynamics. A team can be that way. And then strategies to improve team and player the motivation, especially when, you know, if the momentum is up and then it's down, it could be even within one game that the momentum is all over the place, and there can be team slumps, and how to bounce back, create that resilience, and, you know, and how to turn that momentum around when it's when people are having a tough time recovering from whatever is happening, a tough season. So all those things are really great, really key areas. And maybe just first I'll check in with you and see what questions you have or what thoughts you have with regard to the team synergy, dealing with that, or what issues you'd like me to bring up too. I know, Michelle, you requested that topic. What kinds of things were you thinking of?
Well, the one thing that I believe in is that you need to create a culture of trust on the team. Like, I think that's the foundation, so that if the players trust one another, they know that they, you know, they can make a mistake and they'll still be accepted by their team. They can say, I need help, you know, they can be vulnerable. And just, I think when you have just that attitude of really knowing that your teammates have your back, it can create a higher functioning team. So that's kind of where I am with synergy, and that's all I'm at. And then, yeah. You know, I use your metaphor about the redwoods a lot when I'm coaching teams. And you told us that last year with how they're one of the largest trees in the world, in California, and they have a very shallow root system, and they work together, you know, and they interlace their roots so that they, you know, they're stronger as a whole, and they maintain them, you know, their standings in the growth. So I'll
yeah,
that one out.
That's a great analogy, I think.
Yeah,
and to maybe. Since you were here, Matt was new and maybe didn't hear that, and for other people that are new, I could just start with that. It's really good when I was up in the redwood trees looking in up north, Northern California, yeah, I was looking at all the trees there, and you wonder, how can they grow so tall? You know, trees, 30 stories tall. They're the tallest trees in the world. They can be, and they grow, the oldest ones are 2,000 years old. It's just phenomenal. And they're so sturdy and strong, and yet their root system, like you say, Michelle, and like we were talking about there, the guides tell you when you go through the redwoods is that, the roots are only 6 to 8 feet deep, and yet they're 30 feet tall. It's just amazing. And you wonder, how could they stand that tall? And the reason is because the trees never grow alone. Yeah, they're in they're always in a group in a grove, and so underneath the ground is this root system where all the roots are interconnected. It's like an underground internet system. Did someone else just join us too? I just heard a ding. Did someone else just join us? Or maybe they're on mute, so that's okay. But if you just joined us, you can feel free to just announce yourself. So, or push star 6 to unmute yourself. So, but I was talking with the redwood trees. They've got this underground root system, so they all hold each other strong. And that can be a great visualization for you to use. And so they can hold strong against the storms and against the rain and against all the seasons and the fires. It can be amazing, weather patterns that come through and the fires, and yet they still stand strong because they've got this really strong root system underneath. So if you can think of it that way and then have the athletes think of a root system, what would it be like to be a redwood tree? Imagine yourself as a redwood tree and holding hands or holding feet, interlocking your feet or your root system to all the other trees. And that could be a really great one to share with athletes and then have them talk afterward about what that means to them and what that felt like to be interconnected with other people, and oftentimes all kinds of things come out of that. It's really good. Yeah, Michelle, have you noticed when you use that, do people say that they feel more connected as a team in some way, or notice different things?
Yeah, they definitely love that analogy, and I use it a lot. I also use John Wooden has a similar analogy to a. He talks about a car, and so, you might be the engine, which is like kind of the star player, but you're not going to go anywhere without the wheels, right? And you might be a wheel, but you're not going to go anywhere without those bolts. And so he just recognizes the value of each player on the team, even the one that's sitting on the bench.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so that's great. Yeah, and so, thank you for bringing that up. Reminding me of that exercise, the redwood trees. You can use those kind of analogies. Yeah, and then Matt, did you have anything? Are you working with any groups or teams or questions about that too? About team synergy that you wanted me to bring up? Oh, Matt, are you there? Or maybe he's on mute. You can press star 6 to unmute yourself. I heard a beep afterwards, so maybe he lost connection and is coming back. Yeah, okay. So, so I wanted to, we could talk about those kind of things and bring up examples as we go along. But like, as you say, Michelle, its synergy is like defined. It's the ability of a group to outperform even its best individual player. So, like, mm-hmm. Like you say, a car can have really a strong engine, but it needs the wheels, it needs the bolts, it needs all the different parts working together. And so, team synergy is really a critical element for high-performance teams, for everybody working together, and it can occur in any kind of, this is true for some of you are working with business people as well, so it can be in any kind of team context, whether it's the in the corporate world of business or sports teams. It could be in, an orchestra playing together or some kind of music group where they're all playing in time. So you notice that it's a good analogy with a synergy occurs with music. You're listening to a favorite band, and the sum of all the individual group members creates this amazing effect, where they combine to deliver this wonderful sound. And maybe you can I hear a little bit of background noise, but just press star 6 to mute your phone, and then when you want to ask a question, press star 6 again to unmute so we can have a good recording. That'd be great. Thank you. And the instruments all work together in harmony, you know, with music to produce this unique sound that can be, might be impossible to create by any one person. So, you know, it's like we all know like any band could play a Beatles song, but there's only going to ever be one Beatles band that created the original sound. So if you can think of teams that way, kind of like an orchestra creating this music, and so in with a synergistic team that's together, the sum of the team is the total is more than the individual parts. So then you can think of it as like three people, one and one and one equals three. But if you've got three people all working together, this, you know, it could be more like, the energy could be more like a four or five. It could really outperform the team. And so in this equation, the result will be more than three. And the more you can go above the three, if you've got three players, the more synergy there is created. So so that's... Okay, did someone else just join us again?
Oh, yes, this is Matt. I got dropped, I think.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, Matt, I was just asking you if you had questions, too, about team synergy or working with teams or groups. Or do you work mainly with individuals?
I really like the analogy that you brought up, though. That was really great. We say in my gym, we say your glutes are your roots, and we talk a lot about how we're kind of like a tree and how we reach towards our goals. So that's a good one that I can kind of tie into that conversation. That's actually the symbol of our gym. So.
Oh, wow. Amazing. That's right. Very cool. That's great. Oh, I hope I'm not getting an echo here. So that's great. Yeah, groups are your roots. I like that. And so, yeah, everybody needs to depend on each other. And so it, and sometimes when you have a star player, it can be tricky when one player is sort of outperforming the others. And so, a situation like that, sometimes the everybody's focused on, well, we've got to have this one player doing his best, and if he's not at his best, then everybody else can't be at their best. But then you've seen other teams, you know, we've seen the Warriors where they had all kinds of injuries with the basketball team, NBA, that had star players with injuries this year, and yet the other team members rallied, and they, you know, had lots of ups and downs and almost didn't win and were way behind sometimes, but yet everybody rallied together, and they ended up in the end, they didn't... they got to the finals, but then didn't win. But still, the fact that they were able to get as far as they could was amazing. And I think Steph Curry made the comment that what happens between our members, we're like family, and what happens between our team, and how we relate to each other, that's far more important than what happens out there on the court and on the scoreboard. So I thought that was really good, just showing how close they are as a team and as a group. And when one person gets injured, they all rally together, support that person, and support each other. So really, you need the additional support of the team. And so the question is, how do we utilize, individual players without compromising the whole team? And the solution, I think, or the best way is to, educate. It's not that you don't use individual players, because we need everybody's skills, but to educate everybody, the team, on how to play with with each player and what the value, like Michelle, you said, what the value of each player is, and provide those support structures to make each person even better. So it comes back to educating everyone on both the technical parts and the non-technical role of each player. So, and what the plan is. So a lot of coaches just focus on the technical part, but we as sports psychology coaches, performing edge coaches, can focus on you might call it the non-technical role of the things behind the scene, the communication, the leadership, the trust, the other things that go on that are like the foundation for what then can happen technically and performance-wise. And so the support of the team, and you've got all kinds of different team players. You've got, you know, your stars, and you've got your support people. You've got people that like to joke around. You've got people that are really serious, all kinds of personalities. And you've got, you know, in, say, basketball, you've got forwards that are really great at shooting, and you've got defenders that are really good at blocking. And so it's so important to educate everyone on what the value is of each person on the team. One exercise you can do is that one I've talked about before is having members in a group and then asking them to, you know, put each one member on the hot seat and talk about their value as a member. Have each person say what they think their value is, and just stay on the positive side, and then go to the next number, so that you can realize what that person is contributing, and how they could, and maybe if you say like you to contribute more to your role as a, whatever their role is, here's how, you know, we want to bring out your skills, so that way you can boost that person's performance. So you know, the teams that do have synergy, what do they display? Well, teams that have a synergy have that really interpersonal relationship with each other, and they understand. Sorry, there's a beeping in the background. They understand who they are. You know, they've got their own awareness, and then they understand their team members. So it's really good so every team member knows what the other team members do. And they actively, and then this is a key point here, is look for points where they disagree, and then, or they have differing levels of skills or other points of the difference, and see that difference as a positive, as not a conflict, but as to say, wow, this is diversity. You know, diversity is valued. It's really something important. We need all these different players and different personalities, different skills to have a team. And then based on those differences, you know, you want to, in the early stages, like of a team development, that's when you want to try out different points of conflict. If you have conflict between people, that's the time to talk about it and work those things out in the early stages, and not, you know, at the championship, but when you're first starting to work on the team in the early season, so that if they have conflicts, which everybody does, it's just like, it's like a marriage or like a family or like any kind of system, there's always going to be conflict, and it's how you deal with that conflict that is key. And so you want to deal with conflicts when the stakes are low, you know, early on, and when, you know, your emotions are pretty stable and not the emotions aren't all over the place. And so having a kind of quality discussion of understanding of each person and their abilities, their views, their opinions, their attitudes, the skills, we can all kind of flesh those things out. So, one exercise would be too to get the group together and just say, what are the points of conflict, and how, and then let's work with each one of those, so we don't have all kinds of conflict at once, but just deal with one thing at a time. So and then be able to teach people, what you're really teaching is effective communication skills. you know, how to say things like, when you do this, it makes me feel this way. You know, that kind of structure in a sentence is good. Or here's how we could do this better. Be able to talk about the, you know, the conflict, and then say, how could we see this as a positive, that we both bring, both players bring value to the team. So when you have a team with synergy, everyone is, you know, working on their interpersonal skills. They're able to understand themselves and the other players. That's the goal that we have when we're working with our players. And for look for points when you disagree, and then be able to work on those conflicts early on. And then looked at behaviors that are, you know, with ineffective teams that don't have that synergy. They often are, you know, they need to, you know, they're looking to kind of have a common view very quickly, and they kind of brush past things, conflicts, and things kind of get pushed under the rug, and so differences are overlooked, and oftentimes the most influential player makes decisions in isolation of the others, so that people feel left out. So those are things to look for in a team that does not have synergy and needs to work on that. And they try to hurry through those early stages of team development of conflict. And so when it comes to making decisions, they might resort to really simple methods. Let's flip a coin and make a decision about this, but really in trying to find the quickest way, rather than looking at, you know, talking to everyone and getting a group consensus. So what you want to do is get everyone's opinion on something. Even the people that are shy or don't speak up, those are the people that often have the best solutions to things. So looking at the people that don't talk as much and asking them what's their opinion, what should we do about this situation. And so issues go unresolved, and then they kind of get festered underneath when the team is, you know, does not have that synergy. So they fester up and they come out again later on the down the road. So what you want to do is develop, and then it can be really, you know, during those highly stressful moments of competition, that's when the, you know, points of differences, conflicts really can come out. So you want to be able to develop synergy, you know, early on, and then keep coming back to that, I think, and that's something that you guys, that we can all do as performing edge coaches is have group meetings, workshops with the team to develop that team synergy. And here's some, I just wanted to give you a few points to present that are present when you have a high performance team that has that synergy. What your goals are to develop that synergy is to have, you know, a team with where you have a sense of mission or purpose, and everybody shares that purpose, whatever that is. And, you know, it could be, oftentimes the coach's purpose is to win the championship. You want to have hard goals and soft goals. It's important to have a sense of purpose of uplifting each member, and character development, and build a sense of cooperation, and be able to have that competitiveness, but also cooperating with each other, and, you know, a sense of why the team exists and why we're working so hard on this goal. So, the most important thing is to play fairly and have fun. Remember, a few weeks ago, we were talking about fun, and that often gets lost in really highly competitive teams. So to have that sense of fun and enjoyment, and when you have a team synergy, when everyone's working together, that's when we team members have more fun and enjoy each other and can laugh afterward. Even if the team lost, you can still say, here's what we did right, what did we do well, and who, you know, and give credit to members who are really improving. If you can, a coach or, you know, if we as sports psychology coaches can really look at that and have the whole team evaluate who, not just who performed the best, but who is improving, who improved, you know, the most improved award kind of thing, and look at people that are up and coming and working hard and reward effort level. And reward effort level to so that you're not just the results, but how are people working hard and to make their goal. So so that's one of the characteristics of a high performance team with synergy. And then conflict, as I talked about, is one key thing that when you have conflict, it's dealt with openly, and you want to have it considered important to the decision-making and personal growth to say, I understand this person has this opinion, and we've got a different opinion over here, and to bring those out and have people talk about their values and what they're really feeling and what their frustrations are, and then come to some kind of come to some consensus on what needs to be done. So, so conflict is as a key thing that how it's dealt with helps to have that good synergy. And another characteristic is success. That team members know clearly when the team has met success, and they all share equally in the success. Not just saying, okay, well, this one person performed, you know, gets all the credit because they're the star member, but to give everyone credit for how they contributed to that success. That is so important to give people that feeling of they contributed to the team's outcome. And then some other things that you want to work on are things like priorities, so people know what needs to be done and who by whom, what roles each person has, and when to achieve those, what to do when. So priorities are really important, so everybody is clear about what the whole team needs to do and then what individuals need to do to support the team effort. And so with that, the members know their roles, getting those tasks done, and being able to, you know, have a person be skillful. I remember, Matt, you talked about last time one basketball player that was a forward and then got shifted to another position that she thought may be a lower position, point guard or another position there, and that she was frustrated with that, but the coach thought that would be best for the team. And so in that case, that's one situation where you could help that basketball player to understand sort of how maybe being a point guard for a while could help the team as they needed someone else to be the forward or develop their skills. So sometimes it's not clear, you know, what is the coach thinking here? Why are they making this decision? But they can really help with, it might be a bigger, broader view to look at the big picture, the team aspect to all of that. And then some other characteristics that you want to work toward are things like feedback, training, giving opportunities for feedback for everyone on the team to so that you let people know, especially positive feedback, which is and a lot of times with team cultures it's just not done enough. There's not enough positive feedback. So maybe you could do as a group, a sports psychology coach, to get together as a group and have team members give positive feedback or feedback that is useful, not critical, for each of the members, what their skills are, what they did well, what they could improve on. But be careful when they're looking at the negative stuff to not do it in a judgmental way, but just in a way that for the team, to benefit. Here's what you could do differently, and that kind of thing. So that's a really good thing to create that team synergy, that people can take, can give feedback, positive feedback, and take feedback. So there also needs to be those good listening skills between members, that they're able to listen to other people as well and reflect back what they heard. So that's really key. And so communication skills goes right along with that, with, you know, developing that team synergy, being able to talk to each other and really have those deep listening skills and communication in a way that is really kind and compassionate and caring, understanding what that person needs. Because each person, of course, is an individual, and I think we're really highly skilled at that, much more skilled in some ways than a lot of coaches in the communication part. So kind of looking, especially with communication, we all know that 95% of communication is nonverbal, and so when you're there, right on the courts or on the field with the team, and right afterward, you're talking to each other and looking for that eye contact or lack of eye contact. When someone's feeling uncomfortable, the energy that's happening, the tone of voice, all that is really key to knowing where a person stands. And so being able to bring up, say, the weaker players and giving them a voice to speak, I think, is really important. So, just a couple other characteristics I wanted to bring out are the personal traits, being able to feel like their own unique personality is appreciated and well utilized. So there's some players that are, you know, more outgoing, other players that are more quiet, and being able to realize that there's that diversity there, and being able to have everyone feel valued and feel utilized regardless of what their individual personality is. So that's a key area. It's kind of like same thing in corporations. You know, you've got all kinds of personalities and in meetings, and oftentimes the people that don't get a chance to speak are the ones that have really good ideas that need to be brought out. So it's good to make sure everyone has a voice and gets a chance to speak. So those are some things, those are some characteristics of a good team with synergy. And some other things I wanted to bring in also. But first, I just wanted to check in with all of you and see what kind of examples you have, and if what of those things are we talked about, or give questions, what things are helpful, or things that you want to expand on. So you can,
yeah,
if you had, oh, go ahead. Yeah, is that,
yeah,
Matt?
Hi, Joanne. Yeah, Matt, just to maybe add on, but something I felt like was pretty useful, but you brought it up to me a couple months ago. So I've been doing, at the end of our practices, I've been doing a little bit of highlight time, or nuggets, if you will, kind of like what you do at the end of these conversations. And the athletes will tend to highlight each other. What I noticed is that really it goes in full circle, where somebody will say something that they've noticed, maybe that, you know, Nick is working a little bit harder today, and I appreciate, you know, his efforts. And then Nick will say something about Jerry, and I appreciate the fact that Jerry came to practice a little bit early to work on protocol with me. And so it just becomes a little bit more of a recap at the end of practice, but also the athletes are starting to recognize each other. And the ones that maybe can be working a little bit harder, they, I think, feel like they want to be recognized a little bit more. Maybe the next practice they'll do things to take notice of that, and they do get notice for that. So that's been working really well. I've been doing that for a good couple months now at the end of each practice, and I just let the kids take over. I just say, okay, it's time to talk about our nuggets, and they just kind of take over from there.
Wow, that is awesome, Matt. That's great. I'm glad you brought that up. And yeah, kind of team nuggets instead of chicken nuggets.
Yeah. I definitely stole that from you, but that's been working really super well.
Oh, good. Yeah. I mean, some people, just little things. Some people really struggle with getting to practice on time, and they might have really worked hard to get to that practice on time or get there a little bit early. And so when you appreciate someone for doing that, they, you know, all of a sudden it reinforces that ability, and you feel like, wow, it's really worth the effort here to make sure I get here. If I get here even earlier, a little early, then I can get a chance to talk to people and get more feedback. So that's great to be able to take that time to, you know, highlights is a good way to put it, or nuggets, at the end, and notice that maybe somebody made a few, or is trying harder. Maybe they didn't, like, let's see, remind us which sports you're working in now, Matt, with track?
My facility, it's a multi-sport facility, but the main areas I focus on are basketball, volleyball. Those are the two biggest sports for us right now, and especially, you know, over the summer we get a lot of these athletes in from the field sports, and then of course my running program. That's by far my biggest sport. But even in that sport, we find it really important to be a cross-country team, or to be, you know, unified when my kids aren't even necessarily all on the same teams when they go back to their programs, to their schools. But they bring a lot of the team dynamics they're learning with their team here with what we call the Pindola Project, and it can really help. I have a young lady who was telling me for her college team, she's a collegiate runner, and she's now the team captain, and she's been talking to her team. She shows up to practices. She happens to go to UNR, so she shows up to some practices with her teammates, and she's starting to do the same thing where she'll just start highlighting what she's noticed some of the other athletes doing, and they're starting to do that as well. So it's carrying over into these other teams as well. So even with something traditionally thought as an individual sport like running, really isn't it still a team sport? And so it's been helping all the way around, but a little bit more predominantly with my volleyball and basketball players, I think.
Yeah, right. And with volleyball, you often see, people after they got a point, everyone coming together and doing the high five or a group high five kind of thing. Do your players do that or not?
Oh, yeah,
women,
yeah.
I don't know, women tend to do that more than guys. Yeah,
right. And, I think that when there's some meaning behind the words and they know that other athlete is recognizing their efforts and vice versa, when they give each other like little, you know, a lot of times they pat each other on the butt, and that's something they've done for years. And I think it just becomes just something you do, but it kind of lost its value sometimes. And now when, you know, I was just actually talking to one of my athletes, Sarah, and she said, you know, now when Sally gives me a pat on the butt, I actually feel like it means something.
Yeah, that's great. And so you can, encourage that. There's studies showing that, you know, when you have a group, you know, say doing a high five all together, it really does change the brain. The neural transmitters in the brain creates serotonin and a shot of dopamine and really good feelings inside to keep which can encourage even better performances after that, and feel like, oh, we're a team, we're together, you know, I belong on this team, a sense of belonging, right?
That's right. And, I mean, last thing I would just like to a little note, but the empathy that we've talked about a lot before and just sort of exposing ourselves a little bit more to things that we're struggling with, I think that was also a key piece for a lot of my athletes not realizing that there was things going on maybe with their teammates that they really had no idea about. And they can empathize a little bit more. They're more supportive when that athlete is struggling to maybe even come in on time to practice. I had one girl, she took over the texting. The kids are obviously really big into texting, and she was just saying, hey, you know, I'm here. I'm your performance partner if you need me. And they ended up talking on the phone and having an extended conversation about what was going on with this one particular situation that was kind of tough. And, you know, to this girl, her cat had died, and it doesn't seem like such a big deal and until you start to empathize and think about what happens if you lose a pet or something. And so, you know, maybe that's why she's a little bit off, and she just needs to understand that she has the support there, and then she can power through that a little bit better. So, you know, just empathy, and I think the kids have definitely started to realize that there's more going on than meets the eye, so to speak.
Oh yeah, that's great to emphasize that. Yeah, you know, somebody, you know, kids have so much divorce these days. Somebody, kids might have parents that are going through a divorce, or a parent lost a job, or all kind of, you know, that's a major kind of thing. Their foundation is really ruffled, and so if they can not to do a whole therapy session with them, a group therapy, sometimes if someone can mention something like that, then yeah, everybody can be a little easier on that person and realize they're going through a lot. So, and give support there. Okay, that's, you know, the thoughts with them. I think that's really a good thing. So thank you, Matt, for bringing that up. Yeah, the empathy and all, and that realizing that people have a lot going on outside the court too, and so we can recognize what the people are struggling with, and that really helps build that team bonding, I think. Yeah, Michelle, I wanted to check in with you too. Are you there too? Do you have thoughts? Because you brought up the topic, which is a great topic of team synergy.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate what Matt just said, and you know, I almost lost my dog this week. So I can totally relate to the empathy piece. But she's still with us, which is nice. I guess one of the things when you were mentioning conflict, dealing with conflict, I think just to add to that, I think when somebody on the team is intentional about resolving conflict in a way that creates a higher possibility or leaves that other person whole. And, you know, it really shows that you care about that person, that you want to resolve the conflict. And I think in the caring, again, you're just developing that sense of trust, which I think is really important. And, you know, if the conflict isn't dealt with, it does create resentment, and it will show up inevitably through, like you said, the person's body language or possibly gossip, you know, and talking behind their back. And so if they face conflict head on, there's a real opportunity to strengthen the bond in the team. And I think it's, you know, it's something that as humans we avoid, but there's great potential for just creating synergistic relationships when you deal with it in a proper way. That's all I wanted to add to that.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it can create, make the team even stronger. So, yeah, that's good. And have you had to do that, Michelle, with your work with team members to help them resolve a conflict?
I've had to do it between an athlete and a coach.
Uh-huh. Yeah, can you share your example?
She's a Canadian, she's on our Canadian hockey team, women's hockey team, and she had a lot of beef with her coach, and, you know, it seemed to really hijack our sessions, and it, you know, by her focusing on her coach, she couldn't actually focus on her own playing. And, you know, because her attention was on the coach and what the coach wasn't doing for her. And I think I was able to just gently switch her perspective on the coach so that she, you know, she wasn't arriving on the ice with just a bad attitude towards her coach, which inevitably would be coming out in her playing and in the way she was dealing with the coach. I actually never talked to the coach, but I just worked through the player. And it made a huge difference. You know, we probably did two or three sessions on this, and it's good now, you know. And I had a rugby player who had a really tough time with his dad. And, you know, he called me because of anxiety. And then we ended up talking about the dad. And I actually just got a message from him not too long ago saying that his relationship with his dad has really improved. And it's getting into the great category, and his anxiety has gone down. So those are kind of two examples of where I've had to deal with that.
Oh, yeah, that's great. And I just want to ask with the hockey player, with the difficulty with the coach, sometimes you can have them just, you know, work on the player, just work on their own attitude, and deal with it that way, or other times it's appropriate to have them talk to the coach and have a conversation to work things out. Did you do one or the other, have her talk to the coach or just work on her own attitude?
Yeah, she's 17 and did not feel comfortable talking to the coach, so we just worked on her own attitude. And her line, for instance, she has a lot of the softer technical qualities. Like, she's very upbeat, a really good teammate, very, celebrates others' successes. Like, I think she's probably the fun factor on the bench, but she's probably not as strong technically as some of the players, so she doesn't get played as much as she'd like. So I think that was kind of burning a hole in her a little bit. But just helping her to recognize the value that she brought to the team. And she wasn't seeing that before our conversations. And she was expecting the coach to congratulate her on a good play or acknowledge her, and she wasn't getting it. And that's just not the style of the coach. And, you know, just to be okay with that, to be okay knowing that she had a good play and her line is acknowledging her and knowing that that's good enough. Because if she's just waiting for acknowledgement from her coach, she's going to be continuously disappointed. So let's switch the focus to, you know, her line that she's very connected with.
Right. Thank you. That's great, Michelle, that you brought that out. Yeah, that's so much of what athletes are going through, is waiting for that acknowledgement or reward, or wanting so much positive feedback from the coach, and coaches so many times don't give enough feedback, enough acknowledgement. And so, you know, if you're working with a coach, it depends on your role. If you're working with coaches, you can help them to understand what athletes need and how the coaches could change. But if you're working with the athlete alone, then you can do exactly what you're doing, Michelle, and helping them to realize, hey, I can give myself acknowledgement and say good job and pat myself on the back, a virtual pat on the back kind of thing. You could give it that. Give myself a virtual pat and be able to do it through journaling and through power words. And maybe sometimes the coach doesn't give positive feedback, but maybe that's where team synergy could come in. Maybe other team members can support each other, even if the coach isn't as supportive. You know, or you could find one other, kind of like a buddy on the team that kind of agree, let's give each other feedback. You know, maybe there's two people that have the same or similar different positions, so they're not competing with each other, but they're you know, two people on the team that, if they're having trouble getting feedback from the coach or positive, they could give each other feedback, kind of like a buddy system. So that could be one thing also. So, yeah, but Michelle, I really like that. So thank you for sharing that with that sometimes an athlete can't focus on their own playing because they're focus too much on their coach, and thinking the coach isn't doing what I want them to do, so I can't play my best. And sometimes it's that changing, making a list of things you can change and things you can't change, or can't control. So however, make those lists and then put down all the things. There's probably only one or two little things on the side that you feel like you can't can control. But you can help athletes expand that list of things on the side of what you can control. You control your attitude and your what you say and how you treat other people and how much sleep you get at night and what visualizations that you have and your whole mindset you can control. There's so much we can control that we don't realize. And those been focusing on other people aren't treating me well, kind of thing. And so, and then you can think about the lessons too, the overall, the big picture, the lessons of life, lessons that sports teaches us and really gives us that perspective on things. And sports is kind of like a little microcosm of what's happening in the world and our families and our, how we relate to each other. And so that's one of the first things I tell if a parent calls about their, like a parent just called me yesterday and said they have a 15-year-old golfer, competitive golfer girl that they were interested in me seeing. And one of the things that made the difference, I think, in turning them from a prospect to, you know, signing up to have coaching with me was to say, yeah, this is, you know, she doesn't have this confidence and she's doesn't have that killer instinct, doesn't want to beat other people. But I was saying that when she gets this, I can help her to learn this, these techniques, the confidence in the session there. Once she gets it in here, that's can transfer to, you know, her being a killer instinct for taking her tests and being a better student and a better worker and to speak up, speak her mind. And the parents just lit up and said, yeah, I want to sign up. When can we come in? We're thinking, you know, what these kids are learning in sports is really what they're can learn for everything in life. And when you have conflict, here it is, you know, boy, that's what life is all about, is dealing with conflict and frustrations and struggles. And it's kind of like, oh, this is practice for life right here. We're getting a little life practice session here for when you're going to next, you know, growing up, you're going to have struggles with your boss and disagreements with your spouse or disagreements with kids and whatever it is. We need this sports as practice for dealing with all these situations because it's right out in the open here on, you know, sometimes in life things are kind of delayed and things don't get resolved. But on the court, if you've got a conflict and, you know, you're in the middle of a big game, you got to figure things out right there and make decisions. You need that, you can build those skills of how to make tough decisions right there and how to express yourself. And sometimes somebody who could be normally shy can learn to have their voice, to bring out their voice. So, you know, all those, if you can emphasize that for coaches and athletes, that this is a practice for all kinds of life situations that are tough situations. So, that I appreciate what you said. I apologize if there's beeps in the back. It's a call waiting, and there's just beeps that happen every now and then. I got to turn those off. Can you all hear those or not? I hear those.
No, I can't hear a thing.
You can't hear? Oh, good.
But I am Dr. Joanne.
Yes. Yeah.
Or not? Do you have any exercises that you do with groups to create synergy, like within a workshop or a session?
Yeah, I mentioned a few. Let's see other things. Matt, do you? I was just thinking things, having them do. It could be something that is not necessarily with their sports. You know, this could be an exercise for, you know, improvisation. There's all kinds of really fun things for improvisation exercises that allow people to do things that make them build bonding and make them laugh. You know, like telling a story, and you start off with one person says a word, and the next person, you know, adds to the story and goes all the way around the room. And I'll look up some other ones too. It's just all kinds of really fun things they can do in a group. You know, just throwing a ball around the room or something. It doesn't have to be in their particular sport, but just group kinds of team bonding exercises that can help when they have a shared experience like that where everyone's laughing and it's non-competitive, it helps to build that fun kind of attitude that, hey, you know, we can just have this really fun experience. I had one exercise, an improvisation exercise where you get in front of a room and one person is supposed to say, I'm the speaker, but I can't talk. The other person is supposed to give hand signals showing what I'm going to say, and then I was supposed to interpret that. And then someone just comes up with a topic, like how to bake muffins. And then the person next to me is giving the hand signals of how to do that. I interpret, and then I say from what her hand signals are telling her, I say, okay, here's how you do it. You mix up the bread, and then you put it in the oven, and then you... And I was interpreting her hand signals to the group as I spoke out loud. And it was a way to build that team energy because I was having to interpret her hand signals. And it was just hilarious. People loved it, but it was a way to be able to communicate in a different kind of way. So that was just one example. I can send some other ones this week in an email to all of you. But Matt, let me just ask you also if you have exercises for team energy, synergy.
Well, I think first it's always important to do fun things. So we do try to plan things out as a group that really has nothing to do with the sport. So let's see, a week from Sunday, we're doing Lake Tahoe. We're going to Sand Harbor, and we're just spending a beach day. And we're just going to, you know, we're just hanging out, and the kids have a lot of fun. So just simple things like that. But as far as an exercise goes, you remember in school when somebody would put on your back, kick me or something, right? Don't know, you're walking around with a kick me sign on your back. That ever happened to anybody? You know? So I try to reverse that a little bit where it's obviously something positive and fun. So we'll have somebody who stands up and they're facing away from the group, and the group writes down on sticky notes. I get those super sticky notes, and they just write down something about that person that they appreciate or respect. Then they put that on their back, but they can't read it yet. And then we do that around the group, so everyone ends up having notes on their backs. And then, you know, we just start to talk a little bit more about what it is that we again, sort of appreciate about each other, but also what it is that we feel like can help make us stronger. And then when we get done, the people obviously can take the notes off of their backs. And I think a lot of times they're just surprised that maybe some of the things that other athletes see in them that maybe they don't even see in themselves. And that's always kind of a fun thing, because I do have some shy kids, for example, that maybe they contribute a lot, but they don't say a lot. And I think it's really empowering for them to realize that the kids appreciate their their grace and gratitude and guts when it comes to their contributions. So I don't know. That's kind of a good one I like.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Matt. Yeah, it's really fun stuff like that. Reminds me of when I had I got a cut on my hand. Someone bought me some. They're called affirmation band-aids. You can actually buy them in a store or through Amazon. Affirmation band-aids. So it says instead of just a regular band-aid, it says something on it like, "I am 100% awesome." It says that right on the band-aid. All kinds of with cute little things like that. And you could pass out affirmation band-aids or something like that to people, and they could say that phrase to each other. So things like that. And I agree that you can do, just do something different that has nothing to do with the sport. Like you go to the park and throw around a frisbee. Everybody can do frisbee. Have a dog day or something. Everybody plays with dogs. something fun with and there's frisbee dogs, of course. They catch the dogs or catch frisbees. All kinds of fun things like that that make people laugh. You know, go something with music, dancing, where they're kind of doing crazy dancing. So those are all really good, fun things to do as well. I'm just, I don't know if those are helpful for you, Michelle.
Yes, thank you.
Or if you have ideas too? Yeah. Or if you have other ideas.
One thing I've done a lot with teams, and it's actually quite a fun exercise, is I've done it with the rugby players at UBC, and I have a long dowel, so a wooden dowel, and I have them face each other in two lines with their elbows into their sides, so tight to their sides, and just putting their hands out with their two fingers straight out, and I rest the dowel down the center of the whole team so that they're holding the dowel together. And I ask them to lower the dowel to the ground, and while everyone is maintaining a connection with the dowel. And it 100% of the time, the dowel goes up instead of down because it's so light, and they're trying to maintain connection, and they inevitably push it up. And until one or two people step up and take the lead and start communicating, and then people start working together, they actually cannot get the dowel onto the ground.
Yeah, so interesting.
It's fun because it very clearly demonstrates that, you know, if everybody is working independently of one another, it won't work. But if they're working as a team, it'll work. And that's kind of fun.
I'm sorry. Can you explain one more time how that dowel works? I was listening, but I think I missed. I want to try that. Can you explain that one more time, how the dowel works?
Yeah, so you've got a team, right? So you've got 16 players. You've got 8 and 8, so they're facing each other.
Okay.
So it's two lines, but they're looking face-to-face at one another. And each person is standing with their elbows at 90 degrees so that their hands are out and their elbows are tucked in to their side. And they just have their pointer finger and their second finger straight out. And I rest the dowel down the center and lay it on their fingers. And then I ask them, I don't give them any other directions other than, I want you to put the dowel on the ground, lay it, while everyone maintains contact with the dowel.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Does that make sense?
That's great. Yeah, no, that's a great, simple drill to do. It's so easy just to bring a dowel. That's great.
Yeah
and you want to get as light a dowel as possible.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I always worry it's not going to work, and it works every single time.
Right. Yeah, that's great, Michelle. Thank you. And so that's kind of a, it's like a problem solving. I was just thinking, anything that you can do that is a, that helps, whereas a group, you've got a problem to solve, and the group has to come up with a solution for that, that can really and allow everyone to have input to that. And where, like you say, yeah, people have to work together to make it happen. It's good, you know, just something simple like a, being on a teeter-totter, and, you know, being able to balance between the teeter-totter so that it's balanced. So it's not going up and down, but it's balanced together, could be a really simple thing. So, yeah, lots of great exercises like that. I just wanted to mention one other way that you can, with an exercise you could do with when with a person that's an athlete's having trouble with their coach, was when you know, volleyball player I had wasn't getting enough playing time, like it's so common, and they were going to the national championships, and she realized she was clearly the best player, she thought, on the team there. She had the best statistics and was, but the coach was favoring another player. There's one position that the first I forget what it's called, when the ball first comes down to the other side. Matt, do you know the name of the position? Yeah. The person that, you know, digs the ball, gets it off the ground, keeps it from going off the ground. That person, that player, you know, there's only one position, one pro player that does that position, at least in her situation. And so it was between her and this other player. And so the coach was always using the other player to, you know, as a favoritism. But she wanted to really talk to the coach and tell her that she is really working hard and wanted to get more playing time. So we come up with a script, and I said, why don't you write out a script and or something, some thoughts that you want to say. Just do the raw version first, and then so she told me that and came in with that script or her thoughts. And then we said, now let's edit it a little bit so that you make it so that the coach can hear it more easily, and use the sandwich technique that I call it, where you know say something positive first that you both agree on, like we both want our team to win or do the best we can at the championships. That's something, you know, she agrees, the coach is going to agree, and then say the difficult part in the middle, and then end with a positive note on the end too. So she then said the things that, and we kind of worked with her script a bit to make it more positive, and for her to say, look, I'm coming early and staying, doing extra time, and I'm, here are my statistics for my shots, and I'm really working hard. I would really like to, how do I get, and ask the coach for feedback. That's really important. Coaches want to give feedback. How can I become a better player? And how can I get more playing time in the national championships coming up? And so we had her practice that script, and then and I had her practice it in the mirror beforehand and practice it at home, and then say it out loud and standing up, because if you're standing up and saying the words out loud, it's much different, much better than just reading them. And so she was, you know, practiced with this, and then she did approach the coach found a good time and talked to her about it, and then really had an impact. And then the coach, when the national championships came, so this is like resolving a conflict, but being able to really be assertive, which she was not at first. And once she was assertive and spoke her mind, the coach realized, wow, you know, you are wanting more playing time, and showing how if she got more that playing time, and if she could even be the starter player, that it could really help the team do well in the championships. So she did go to the championships. The coach did use her as the starter player, and they didn't win, but they ended up getting second place. And she ended up getting seen by five different scouts from different colleges and got five offers for college scholarships. So it ended up to be a really good outcome. And it was not just because she was trying hard as a player, but she also then, you know, was able to work together to resolve that conflict so that she could have almost a synergy between team synergy between her and the coach, and really worked on her assertiveness skills. And so that's another situation where she where you can work with an athlete to be, if it's the right situation, if it depends on the coach and the athlete, and if the coach is open to feedback, which in this case she was, to be able to teach athletes how to be assertive, how to speak their mind, especially women have, girls have more trouble with that, I think. And that way, that situation, it was really life-changing for her because she was able to play, get playing time, be the starter player at the national championships, and then go on to be able to play in college. And really opened new opportunities for her. So, that's a good situation, a good example of teaching someone how to resolve a problem, how to resolve that conflict, and then create that synergy between her and the coach, the team synergy. And so, I just wanted to share that kind of example. So, it's about time. Any other I just want to ask you for nuggets for today, what kinds of things were most helpful for you, and we'll do our next call. Second and fourth Thursday of the month. The next one will be August the 8th. You could put that on your calendars if you like. So, what things were nuggets or good takeaways for you today or most helpful for you? Michelle and Matt and anyone else that's on the call too?
For me, Dr. Joanne, I appreciated the just the exercises that you guys shared that you do that we can do with the teams to create synergy. I like when I'm doing a session, I don't want to be talking all the time, so I'm always looking for ways to engage the athletes and so that they're going to learn, you know, those important messages. So I really appreciate you guys sharing all that stuff with me.
Yeah, great. Oh, that's good. Exercises. And as I think of more of them, I'll send them to you also, to all of you.
Thank you.
And Matt, do you have some nuggets or things that are helpful for you today or what you would like to do or things you want more info on?
Well, yeah, I'm going to definitely try the dowel drill, Michelle. That sounds interesting and fun. Any way to have more fun is great. And I really liked in the beginning when you talked about it was redwoods, right? The trees, redwood trees.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. That's a story up in the redwoods. The roots being connected.
That's such a great analogy.
And you could have so glad we brought that up, and it's a great one for imagining all the roots being connected and having to do a visualization with that people feeling connected. And there's so many different ways to be connected. You could actually do an exercise about that and ask how you could feel more connected to other athletes. And then any kind of humor, with exercises too, if any way that we can get people laughing, ask them, you could ask them after a training, a group practice, to say, what was fun about today? Or what was the most fun thing for you today in our practice? Anything funny that happened. And, of course, you want to make the humor not laughing at a person, not never putting someone down, but just something that is funny, that is kind of an inside joke. Those are anything that you can all laugh about together is always really bonding to people. It just, humor brings everyone together. It brings that team synergy, I think. So if anyone has a funny joke or something funny they saw on YouTube, it just bring out that, we all have a funny bone, right? We want to bring out the funny bone part. So, yeah, so just wanted to bring those out and let people laugh and have fun. And then be able to just help. Another, I just want to mention one other thing that's good synergy is anything that you can do to help each other. You know, if you can come up, if people can come up with ideas about, you know, here's something that you could do to maybe help with a situation. Be able to just, you know, anything that can be helpful. That can really build a synergy there too. Just people helping each other, and you know, for instance, in volleyball, instead of just trying to slam it over the net, you know, being able to tip the ball and pass it to maybe someone who's closer to the net and become a team player that way. That can really help to players to work together, and then to acknowledge that. Say afterward, well, thanks for tipping the ball to me so I could get it over the net in a stronger way. So, great. Well, thank you all. It was great to chat with you. And next time, August 8th, I'll have the recording up shortly and continue the notes. And I'll look for more team synergy exercises too and send those to you. And this is great. It's always such an honor, so much fun to talk to you guys. We've got Team Synergy right here, right, with all of us?
Yeah.
Right.
Performing
hey,
at
Joanne.
Yes.
Yeah, no, sorry to interrupt. Just selfishly, are you going to be at the San Francisco Marathon this weekend?
Oh, I wasn't planning to, but you're going to be there doing the half marathon, did you say?
Yeah. So if you're not going to be there, I just I thought maybe you would. I know that's the marathon you won, and so I just thought maybe I would see you if you are there. But
yeah, shoot. Unfortunately, I was going to be out of town this weekend and something else. I know I won. Yeah, I won the San Francisco Marathon many years ago, 1980. Gosh, it seems like ancient history now, and it's so near and dear to my heart. And that's so great that you're going to be here. I wish that I could see you there. But I wish you all the luck, all the best in the half marathon. That would be great for you to be able to do it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No. Thank you. Yeah. It's going to be fun. I haven't done that race before the course. So it'll be interesting. But I'm hoping to get a fairly fast time.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be sending you good energy here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a great race, Matt.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. And thanks for all your comments, too, Michelle.
Yeah. That was really great.
It was a great session. Thanks, Dr. Joanne.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Michelle and Matt and everyone on the call. And, yeah, it's just an honor and fun, so much fun to work with you guys. So we'll talk to you soon. Have a great week and have a good race, Matt.
Right. Thank you. All right.
Thank you. All right. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.